This is My Mac Mini Podcast number 6. This podcast is sponsored by SmallDog.com.
Hello, this is David Cohen, and I'm the London Bureau Chief for MyMac.com. Welcome to Fenestration, my guide to using a Mac in a Windows world. In today's session, I'm going to talk about something that can make you really unpopular with Windows users if you're in a situation where you're sharing files between Mac and Windows systems. As we've discussed in the past, today's modern Mac operating system OS X is very good at coexisting with Windows, Linux, and other systems, because it has to, and it makes sense for it to do so. OS X's Unix background means that it's very good at connecting over networks to other file systems. And when it comes to native disk support, OS X is able to read Windows FAT32 and write to FAT32, and it's able to read NTFS partitions, which are those used principally with Windows XP. So all is well in terms of sending files to and from Windows systems. Well, mostly. There is one slight problem, though. Let's take a scenario where a colleague running a Windows system lends you his USB thumb drive to copy some files onto off your Mac. He may complain when he gets it back, because he'll find some extra files in his directory that he wasn't expecting to see. He's probably going to see something called .ds_store, and also .trash, and he may also see 1K duplicates of some of his files, with the .dot input in front of the file name. Now what these files are what's called resource forks. OS X doesn't actually store files as one single monolithic file when it saves something to a disk. It actually stores them in various constituent pieces. There's a data fork, which maintains the actual file itself and the stuff that you've put into it. And then there's something called a resource fork. In OS X, this is used for storing things like the file comments, what application was last used to open the file, and other metadata that might be useful for the file for OS X. That's what the .document files are. The other files, the .ds_store and the .trash, are OS X housekeeping files. The ds_store file is used for storing the icon view, the folder view, and icon positions of the directory when it's viewed in the Finder. And the .trash name, as its name implies, is in fact a trash can volume for that particular folder. Now all of this isn't hidden from you when you're looking at a folder using the Finder, but Windows XP users aren't using the Finder, they're using Windows Explorer, and that can see those files just fine. And that's the root of the problem. Windows users will find these files scattered over any folders you happen to have been browsing or using, and they find it quite annoying. In a network scenario, the same problem applies. So if you connect to a network share and start going through a directory structure, you'll be leaving these files wherever you go. And you may find users and network administrators get a little bit irate with you about it. However, help is at hand. There are ways to get around the problem. If you're running OS 10.4 Tiger, you can look at Apple support document 301711. This document explains a terminal command that you can enter for each user that will prevent OS 10 from creating these files on network volumes. What this doesn't do is eliminate problems on local volumes, such as USB drives, so just bear that in mind. The Apple tip also doesn't help you delete these files once they've been created, so if you've been busy on a network share for a few weeks, you'll still have a big cleanup job to do if you want to make everyone else on the network happy. However, there is an application you can use that actually is a much better solution to the problem. It's called Blue Harvest, and it can be found at www.0120.com/blueharvest. The application takes the form of a preference pane that can be found in System Preferences and allows you to selectively turn off the creation of resource fork and .ds_store files on various different types of folder on the machine. However, what it can also do is actually enforce these preferences retroactively. So, for example, if you've told it that you don't want these files to be created on any external volume such as a USB drive in the future, the next time you plug in a USB drive that has these files on there, they'll get automatically deleted. So Blue Harvest can be used to actually clean up that mess you might have created for other users in the past. It does also have a cleaner function where you can drag folders into it and it will automatically remove any of these files that have been created. DS underscore store files and the .trash files can be removed pretty safely, because all that's going to happen if you remove them is you're going to affect the settings on your machine. But the resource fault files for application data can be a little bit more problematical. Later OS X applications, if they use resource faults, will bundle the important ones up inside the file, so they can't be seen even by OS X or Windows users. And you're just left with the OS X.documentName files, which I use, as I've said, for comments and that sort of thing. Stuff which you can probably live without if you lose them. However, applications based on the Carbon programming platform, i.e. applications that were compatible with both OS 9 and OS 10, may not use resource forks in the same way. Resource forks were a lot more important to OS 9 applications, and they tended to put a lot more data into them. If you delete a resource fork using Blue Harvest and it contains this sort of data, you may find the application won't open the document properly. So I would urge caution if using older applications with Blue Harvest. It's also worth mentioning that Blue Harvest supports OS 10.3 Panther and 10.4 Tiger only. It is a universal binary, and it's a $10 shareware application. Well worth the money if you've got a network share littered with these sort of files and a network administrator who's complaining at you for corrupting his network. That's going to do it for this session. As always, questions or comments to davidcohen@mymac.com. Until the next time.
Here at mymac.com, we receive a lot of books for review. In fact, over the years, we have been the premier book review site for Macintosh, Internet, and digital photography, among other topics. Every so often, we also try to review topics of general interest to our readership, young and old, and this book definitely is of general interest. Whether you are sitting or jogging or standing on your head or eating some of that delicious Trader Joe's chocolate that I talked about last week, at a certain point you are going to get older. That's spelled O-L-D-E-R. I know about this because when I was in my 30s, I worked at the Levy Senior Center in Evanston, Illinois. Now that I'm at the tail end of my 50s, I certainly can recommend a book we have received, the Special Illustrated Edition by Healthy Living Books, published by the National Institute on Aging, 25 Easy Exercises for Better Health. This book is called Fitness Over 50, 25 Exercises and a 40-Minute Instructional DVD. Now, obviously, lots of you are way under 50, and there's a couple of you listeners who are way over 50. It doesn't matter how young or old you are. Get off your rear end and move around. The easiest way to do that is set a timer for 25 minutes, because I have found for myself and my clients and friends that if you set a timer like a kitchen timer or your Mac timer or your iPod timer for 25 minutes, every 25 minutes get up and move around the house, do some jumping jacks, go wash the dishes, go to the bathroom, answer the phone, do whatever you're going to do, and then 5 or 6 minutes later, come back and do your computing. That's my 25-5 for active computing. But if you really want to become active without having to go to a gym or learn how to become a triathlete, the wonderful thing about this book, Fitness Over 50, is it truly is for anyone of any age. I'm a real active, outdoorsy sort of person. And the chair and the floor and the wall exercises that are included in this book, all you need is a pillow, a chair, a wall, and I mean, they're really good exercises. They're easy and they're quick, meaning you don't need to do lots of warm-up. The exercises themselves are part of the warm-up. And then once you put on the DVD, you can follow along with the DVD just like we used to watch in the old days when there used to be... Oh, I remember Jack LaLanne did the television exercises back when I was a kid. Pause. That pause was so I could do a little bit of stretching while I was working on my review. And this review series, as you know, is called Nemo's MyMac.com Reviews You Can Use That Won't Make You Snooze. Well, you certainly won't snooze while you're doing these exercises. Let me tell you a little bit more about this book. Like I said, it's Healthy Living Books. The publisher is Hatherleigh Press, H-A-T-H-E-R-L-E-I-G-H Press. I'll put this in the show notes. In the United States, this book is $19.95, and I'll give you the ISBN and the other information for the special illustrated edition of Fitness Over 50, including 25 exercises, 100 photographs in the book, a 40-minute video with a very attractive middle-aged woman leading the exercises. And believe me, if you do these exercises, you will be fit. It will extend your life. It'll add life to your years and years to your life. And you will thank MyMac.com's mini podcast for providing this healthy living information. Thanks so much for listening to the MyMac.com mini podcast. John Nemo signing off with another edition of Reviews You Can Use That Won't Make You Snooze.
You're listening to The Dashboard Minute, right here on the MyMac Mini Podcast. Hey there, everyone. My name is Guy Searle, and welcome again to The Dashboard Minute. This is number 48, and like I promised last week, we're going to look at some of the more fun side of dashboard widgets. And I started looking through the 45 shows that I've done with original widgets, and I realized I've got some really, really stupid ones in there too, and I just couldn't resist not bringing some of them back for a little taste. I'm going to start off with something fun. It was a game by the good people over at Scenario Software. It was called Scenario Poker. It was a basic Texas Hold'em poker game with 9 other opponents, all controlled by the computer. There are 3 basic buttons for operation: a combination check call button, a raise button, and a combination deal fold button. You start off with $1,000, and the bets, say they start pretty small, but they get progressively bigger as more and more opponents drop out. If you lose all your money, shocker, you lose the game. If you manage to be the last one standing, you move on to the next level with more money, and then finally even more money for the third and last level. Don't need any internet connectivity, and it's a whole lot of fun. They've updated it a couple times, and one of the complaints I had way, way back when was that it seemed like the hands kind of repeated themselves, but they took care of that. And it's a lot of fun. It's a good game. It's the Scenario Software Scenario Poker Game. You can find it at scenario.com. That's S-C-E-N-A-R. Sorry, let me try that again. God, I'm just messing it up tonight. S-C-E-N-A-R-I-O.com. And, of course, at good old version tracker.com. Okay, this was more along the lines of one that was just very, very strange. Most people have heard about Freeverse Software. They're the makers of various utilities and games that a lot of people have used for a long time. And one of the things that they created way, way back when was this little guy named Jared, who would sing in Portuguese or Spanish, I've heard both, love songs. The only problem was he didn't sing them very well. He looked like a big round yellow head, kind of like Pac-Man. But it's just one of those things that you have to download and check out for yourself, and you'll probably get rid of it right away after that, but it's just too weird to not look at least one time. So you can find that at freeversoftware.com, and most likely at version tracker or macupdate.com. And I think you'll really enjoy that one. Ooh, let's see, which one are we talking about here? Okay, let's go on to, hey, how about another stupid one? Yeah. This is one of those widgets that it really doesn't have any purpose other than to tell you when for sure you're going to drop dead. Now, I mean, what could be more useful than that? So, what's the name of this widget? What else could it be called but the Death Watch widget? How does it work? You type in your birth date, your gender, personality type and the Death Watch widget, well, it just does the rest. It tells you exactly how many days, hours, and seconds you have left before you're going to drop dead. It even has a handy countdown. Hey, that's just so handy. I love it. Anyway, in order to find it, you have to look for Tim Heller. Tim Heller is the one that made it, and you'll find him at leftexitright.com. L-E-F-T-E-X. Ooh, boy. Sorry, that's left text right. leftexitright.com. And, you know, don't even worry about it. If you're interested in any of these, they'll all be there in the show notes for the mini podcast. Okay. I've got another stupid one here. Actually, a lot of these are pretty dumb that I've got left. This is kind of weird. You take one part martial arts. I'm just kind of reading verbatim what I wrote before. Take one part martial arts, one part Hollywood, one part Apple widget, throw it in some completely made up facts, put them all in a blender, hit liquefy, and what do you get? Why, the Chuck Norris facts widget. This widget really did have me laugh as I was going through it. Let me read you off some of the ones I've got here. Whoever said the good die young was probably in Chuck Norris's kindergarten class. Chuck Norris plays racquetball with a waffle iron and bowling ball. Chuck Norris once kicked a horse in the chin. Today, its descendants are known as giraffes, and it goes on and on in that vein. But it's really, really fun. A lot of them seem to have a common theme, which is death by roundhouse kick to the face. So I guess Mr. Norris is very well known for his roundhouse kick. But it's a great, great widget for when, you know, you just need to laugh at something. This is one that'll do it for you. It's the Chuck Norris Facts widget. It's at the Apple Dashboard widget download site, and naturally at some of the others as well. Another one that you could kind of put into the bizarre category is the Ask Dave widget. Now, the Ask Dave widget is, think of it as kind of a magic 8-ball for the dashboard environment. You ask yourself a question out loud, of course, click on the widget, the little man there shakes his magic Etch-a-Sketch, and up comes an answer. It could be, you know, darn near anything, like "you're so hosed" or like "I care." And my favorite, of course, is 42, which is the answer to life, the universe, and everything. Nice to see it finally in a dashboard environment. Okay, last one for tonight. It's called the Same Game Widget. It's by Errol Leighton. I know I'm mispronounced this. Errol Leighton Sayer. What you have to do is find combinations of blocks or circles, depends on what your preference is, that are adjacent to one another of the same color and click on them. Then they disappear. The more of the same color shapes that are next to each other when you click them, the higher number of points you get. There's three different game board sizes and two different shapes. You can mute the game noises if you wish. And it's about 123K download. You can find it at Apple's dashboard widget site and all the usual places as well. It was created by, let's see, I already said that, but you can find it at his website at errol.errolandana.com/creations. And, you know, do yourself a favor, go to the show notes, you'll find it there. Anyway, I think that's going to be about it for tonight. This is Guy Searle for the Dashboard Minute, show number 48. I hope you all have a really, really pleasant evening, and I'm looking forward to meeting as many of you as I can make it to the Grand Rapids Apple Store on September 23rd, where I'll be the co-host with Tim Robertson for MyMac.com's 100th podcast. Yay! Be there. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Guy. Looking forward to recording the 100th podcast with you at the Apple Store. It's going to be a good time, and hopefully a lot of people show up, because we've got a really, really great bag of goodies we're going to be giving away. Make sure you guys listen to the regular podcast, MyMac.com podcast, next week. No show this week. Next week, and Chad and I will go over the list of goodies we will be giving away free of charge at the show. So That ought to be pretty cool. As an update, Apple has posted a recall on iBook G4 and PowerBook G4 models. Some of those lithium-ion batteries are bad news that Sony made. So if you've got a machine that was made between October 2003 and August 2006, you may qualify for a new battery. Check out Apple's website for further details, or just go up to mymac.com and follow the show notes from the MyMac Mini Podcast number 6. I'll put a link directly to it. It affects the, let's see, the 12-inch iBook G4, 12-inch PowerBook G4, and the 15-inch PowerBook G4. Yeah, thanks, Sony. As if, you know, having the PlayStation 3 come out late by, like, I don't know, a year, way overpriced to begin with, putting a rootkit on your CDs, and, man, can Sony get anything right lately? I don't know. We'd love to hear back from you. Send any feedback directly to the content providers of the podcast. Excuse me. Or you can send it to mymacpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want a Gmail account, just send an email to mymacpodcast@gmail.com. Say, hey, hook me up with the email address, Tim, and I'll send you an invite and you can join Gmail. I like Gmail. It's pretty good. I think that's going to wrap up the show this week. We'll see you guys next week for MyMac Mini Podcast number 7, where we're going to review a lot of porn. Okay, not really. Well, you know, well, not on the show, but we, you know, somebody on the staff is, I'm sure, bound to, yeah, anyways. Make sure you check out mymac.com for original content for all your Mac needs. We've got reviews, how-tos. We even got some videos up there free of charge. Just go up there and they'll teach you how to use your computer a little bit. And that's always a good thing, isn't it? Take care. Bye-bye.